Our first reading is from Psalm 121. This beautiful expression of trust and assurance of God's protection can help ground us as we face whatever powers and principalities are working against us and against love in our lives and the world. The Word of God. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading from Matthew 21, verses 6 to 9, reminds us that when the people who lined the road during Jesus' entry into Jerusalem cried out, "Save us," they did so from a context of ongoing and deep oppression alongside violent and deadly repression. Their hosannas were part of being real about the deliverance they needed. I was going to invite you to stand, but you're already standing. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Singing our prayer song this morning.
You know my words before they're said. You know my needs and I am fed. You give me life. You know my ways, my strength, my path for all my days. My strength, my path for all my days.
Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. When I put the word temptation into my search engine this week, in looking for images, one that came up frequently was the reality show Temptation Island. Now, I tend not to watch reality TV, and I think this show is probably why. Or one of the reasons why. I have not watched it, but I read about it. The show takes four couples who are in a relationship, but their partnership has had its ups and downs. Often broken trust seems to be a huge issue. So the premise of the show is that these couples go to an island, they're separated by gender, and then they are suddenly surrounded by beautiful people of the opposite sex. The show is tempting these individuals to cheat on their partners in a pretty extreme way. As I said, I have never watched this show, but just the idea of it kind of makes my skin crawl. Although infidelity is certainly the result of temptation, when we pray this next phrase in our prayer, it means so much more than that. I want to read Psalm 121 again, this time from Eugene Peterson's translation, The Message, because it speaks to the theme of the service today, which is protection. I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from mountains? No, my strength comes from God, who made heaven, earth, and mountains. He won't let you stumble. Your guardian God won't fall asleep, not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. God's your guardian right at your side to protect you, shielding you from sunstroke, sheltering you from moonstroke. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always. The psalmist cries out to God to protect him from evil, to be his guardian. I haven't often thought of God as guardian, but in this context, thinking about God who guards me against evil is helpful. Even though God cannot always protect us from things like natural disasters, disease, or crimes, God can protect us from ourselves. And that is where the first part of the line of the Lord's Prayer that we are looking at today enters in. And lead us not into temptation. Said another way, keep us on the straight and narrow, or protect us from falling into behaviors that harm ourselves and others. We all face temptation. We often talk about Eve being tempted by the serpent in the Garden of Eden, but Eve is not solely to blame. Adam also ate the fruit. But more importantly, we learn from the story that it is the nature of the human condition to be tempted and to do things that we know we shouldn't. Now, some of our temptations are minor ones, like really wanting to watch the newest episode of our favorite show when we have a sermon to write. Or really wanting ice cream when you already had a huge cookie. Maybe it's being tempted to pass along a piece of gossip that we aren't really sure is 100% true. Or perhaps we're tempted to skip a walk or run or workout, even though we know we'll feel better afterwards. But there are larger temptations out there that can lead us into immoral behavior. A flirtatious attraction that leads to an affair. Having fun playing slots leads to a gambling addiction that then leads to serious financial repercussions that bring harm to your family. The temptation to drive after a few drinks. I feel fine, which then leads to a car accident. These are more serious temptations. But it's helpful to remember that Jesus was also tempted. He was able to resist. But after his baptism, when he was led into the wilderness, the devil tempted him with bread, with power, and to use his divine capabilities to save himself. Jesus, however, was able to follow the path that God had laid out for him. He resisted the things that would make his spiritual journey easier. What's interesting about the serpent who tempted Eve and the devil who tempted Jesus is that the devil is smart and sly. He rationalizes the poor choices. making the temptation seem not that big of a deal. And in the story of Jesus, the devil even quotes scripture. He justifies the actions with God's own words. Now, the Bible personifies the tempter as Satan, but temptation is, as Reverend Adam Hamilton describes it, quote, the voice in our head, whispering, arguing, rationalizing, seeking to lure us to do what we know we should not do. End quote. And even Jesus struggled with that voice, that inner monologue between right and wrong. It's okay. Have something to eat. No one will ever know. So I think it's encouraging to know that even Jesus, the one that we worship as our Lord, was challenged in this way. We are assured that we are not alone in the struggle. This petition from the Lord's Prayer has us asking God to lead us so that we will be protected from the evil that lurks in the world and can tempt us to do things that hurt us or others. Hamilton, in his book on the Lord's Prayer, encourages us to add an additional comma into this phrase so that it is made even clearer. Instead of "lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," which makes it sound like God is leading us to do wrong, he suggests saying it this way, "and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." This emphasizes our desire for God to lead us in our daily lives, rather than letting the evil in the world, whatever that may be for us, take over. Jesus called his disciples to follow him, and this prayer makes our desire to follow Jesus a plea to God to help us follow his lead. If you say this prayer daily, or maybe more than once a day, it can ground you. It can ground us in our belief system and strengthens us to follow in God's ways. In the second reading today, we hear a portion of the Palm Sunday story where God's people ask for Jesus to save them. They want to be saved from, spared, the oppression of the Roman Empire that has been ruling them by intimidation and heavy taxation. They wanted to be delivered from evil. Unfortunately, many in the crowd that day, including Judas, would turn their backs on Jesus because it was easier. The temptation to follow the loud voices of others was easier. It was easier to just go along with the crowd, to choose safety rather than to put themselves in an even worse position, a treasonous one, by calling Jesus Lord rather than Caesar Lord. The ones who were cheering on Jesus as he entered Jerusalem wanted to follow him. Their prayer was "lead us" as well. They wanted Jesus to protect them from the evil forces embodied in the actions of their oppressors. But when it came time to make a choice, they turned away. I think this particular phrase is helpful. It's helpful to think about the story helps us as we think about deliver us from evil. Because it's not just individual temptation from which we seek to be protected. We find ourselves parts of various groups. And those groups can be tempted to behave in harmful ways. that crowd on Good Friday. That was a group that needed to resist evil but could not. Adam Hamilton speaks about the many ways that tribes or ethnic groups have inflicted atrocities on other groups. The Nazis, who sought to decimate Jews and other minority groups. The 1994 genocide in Rwanda. Hutus and Tutsis slaughtered. The violent conflict between Hindus and Muslims in 1947, which led to the partition of India and Pakistan. And we can go back even further in time and look at our own country. The system of enslaving Africans and the abuse of white slaveholders inflicted upon them, as well as the massacre of so many Native Americans and moving them onto reservations. These are prime examples of evil perpetuated by groups and individuals needing to be protected from that evil. The way our country has become polarized in the last 10 years or so leads many to demonize the other side of the political spectrum. So we need to continually ask God to save us from the ways that human beings can scapegoat other groups or see them as less than. We need God to also protect us from the evil that is lurking closely and wants us to give in to temptation. Two of the questions that are asked at our baptism have us promise to help us resist temptation and evil. The first one is, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? And the second is, do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? As Christians, we promise to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness and reject the evil powers of this world. We are called to resist the temptation of feeling superior, that we are above making mistakes. We are all broken. This is the human condition. And so we ask God to lead us, not into temptation and sin, but in paths of righteousness. And we pray for the systems and groups of which we are a part that can act in harmful ways. We pray to help us stand up and speak out about the injustices that perpetuate evil actions. And as we pray, we can also be mindful and pray for the leaders that are convincing or have convinced, will convince others to betray their conscience, that they would stop. Our prayer to lead us and deliver us is a prayer for protection. We want God to protect us from our poor choices that lead to harm of ourselves or others. We want to protect all of us from the evil that may bring harm. As Psalm 121 states, God guards us, protects us always. And we're also called to help protect others. This is the good news for us today. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thanks be to our guardian God for this gift. Amen.